I'm in, like you said, like Brother Lino said, I'm working in Querétaro, Mexico with Marty Latondras and Adrian Silva. We're mainly right now what we do is we street preach in the mornings in the colonias, and then the night, every night we go downtown and preach in the plaza downtown, which is where I like to preach a lot. I get more bigger crowds and get debates with people. And it's a lot of fun for me to go down there. And then lately, right now, I've been trying to finish up a project I started a couple years ago. I'm making a concordance for the Spanish Bible, and I'm about a year away, I hope, from finishing that up. So I'm working on that too and trying to not lose focus of preaching, which is more important, and at the same time, get this other thing done and out of the way. So that's basically what I'm doing, and I'm also, I go over and teach in the church in San Luis Potosí every once in a while. Run a few people off for them, that's what I heard. Right now we got a couple ladies meeting with us. I don't know if Marty told you about it, but we got about a year ago, a young man came downtown and came up and told me he was a Christian, which I questioned him, and he got mad at me because I didn't believe he was a Christian, and because I asked him to prove he was a Christian with the Bible, he couldn't prove it, and he got real upset and he walked off, and I never saw him again. To about a year later, just recently, about 2 months ago, I guess it was, about a year later, and he comes up, and his church had gotten into some doctrinal trouble, and of course, everyone was like him pretty much, no one knew what doctrine was, didn't have any scriptures, and split up, and he was looking for a church that could teach him about the Bible, and so he started meeting with us. And he came the first time, and he checked us out, make sure we weren't a bunch of cuckoos, I guess, and then he brought his whole family, so now we got about 7 or 8 people meeting with us all of a sudden, so that was a real blessing. The only problem with that is one of them gets mad, they all leave, so we're trying not to get any of them mad. Adrian and Marty said that I couldn't talk to those people, that I had to leave, that they would give them the Bible studies and I had to leave them alone. Yes. Tell you what, this is what I got to work with. No. Let's look here in Haggai chapter 1. It says, thus speaketh the Lord, I'm in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in the sealed houses, and this house lies waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified. Thus saith the Lord. Ye looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. And, I was reading this a while back, and it came at a time when I had a lot of my own plans going on and things I was doing and things I wanted to do. I had a lot of plans going on, and I was letting the work that God has ordained me to do, which is to preach the gospel, fall behind. Maybe not in time schedule. I mean, I was keeping my time schedule. You know, I go out certain times in the morning and certain times at night. And I was keeping that schedule up, mainly because I have Adrian to kick me in the rear end when I don't. And so, but in my heart and in me, I wasn't putting the same amount of interest I always had in doing what I need to do and doing what God had called me to do. And I read this verse, and it really hit me right in the heart about how I live and what I'm looking for. It's really amazing. The more carnal I get, and I think it's maybe true for everybody, and the more I seek the carnal things for my life, the less satisfied I am with it. When I'm living the way the scriptures teach me to live, and I'm looking for the things of God and trying to please Him and do His work, I'm very satisfied with very little bit of money. I don't need that much. But the moment I start making a little more money, looking for a little more money, the less money I actually have and the more I want. It's like those people that say, man, what would I do if I had $1 million? Well, you'd want another $1 million. That's what you do. That's why people who win the lottery continue to buy lottery tickets. And that's what the condition we find Israel in when the Lord speaks to Haggai. He tells them, you've sown much, but you bring in little. And the whole subject of this short passage here is, consider your ways. Think about it. You know, it's amazing. We live our lives, and yet we never really think about what is the purpose of what we're doing, and what is the outcome later on. We just think that, or we don't think, we get wrapped up in doing what we think we need to do, or what we feel we need to do, and we just forget to step back and think about it and say, well, 10 years down the line, is this going to make any difference whatsoever? How is this going to help me at all later on? And that's what God tells them here. Consider your ways. Think about it a little bit. It says you've sown a lot and you gather little. Doesn't that make you think? Doesn't that bring a little bit of inquiry to you, wondering what's going on? Why is it that I plant a lot and I only get a little bit back? It says you eat, but you have not enough. You drink and you're not full. You put on clothes and you don't get warm. There's something missing. Something's wrong. And that's what I found in my life. The more computer equipment I got, the more I want it. For those that don't know, I care less about cars. I'm very happy with a piece of junk. I'm very offended that we're going to go to Michigan here in this next week sometime, and I was going to drive my car. I like my car. But no, everyone's going with me. They're all upset because my car doesn't, the starter doesn't work, and I don't know. They got some other little quirks. They have problems with it. I like my car. I have no problem with it. I'm against washing. I have a conviction against washing the car. I don't care, but I do care about computers. I like computers. But I found the more I get wrapped up in these things, and not just that, but other things in life, and I think every one of you can sympathize with me. I hope you can. Hope I'm not the only dingy here. The more I get wrapped up in these carnal things, the more I want and the less I feel I have. Had a little Capro back a long time ago. For those who don't know what a Capro is, explain it later, but they had a little Capro. Boy, that was great. Never wanting any more. Then I got a 46, and then it's been downhill ever since. And I find that with everything I get involved in carnally. And I start thinking, why is that? Why is it that the more and more I reach for, the less and less it seems that I have? Well, as Christians, we're called as servants, not partners. We're not necessarily partners with God. Now, we don't go into this and God says, well, we're going to split it right down the middle, 50-50, me and you. God calls us in as servants. We're to serve God. We're to seek what He wants, not what we both want. And God doesn't really care about what kind of computer I have. He's not interested in how many megahertz I want. He's really not. God doesn't care what kind of house I like. A lot of people think, oh, that's tough. No, I think it's true. God was willing to sacrifice men's life that were saved, be saved, but send them to their death to win other people. He wasn't too concerned about their lives. He was concerned about these other people. He's willing to sacrifice men's inheritance to win a few people. He's willing to send people to jail to win a jailer. God's not real concerned about my wants. He really isn't. He's concerned about some other things. Some other things are much more important to Him. And yet, we don't have that kind of vision. Well, our vision stops right about here. You know, we walk around with a mirror in front of our face all the time, and that's who we think about, and that's what we try to supply for. And yet, you live like that, and you're going to find out, just like these people found out, that that's not a fitting role for a servant. That's not becoming of a servant. Servants seek somebody else's benefit. Seek to increase somebody else's bank account, not their own. And this what these people are for. They come up and say, it's not time to fix the Lord's house. It's not time. And God comes back and says, oh, but it is time for you to fix up your house. Oh, yeah, it's time for me. Well, that's not a very becoming role for servant. And the reason is that we need to do a few things. We need to put the Lord first in our lives, not theoretically and not mystically. Amen. And not this mushy, gooey way that Christians have of talking about putting the Lord first while they do everything but that. It has nothing to do with what you say. It has to do with how you live. Amen. We can talk about loving God, and yet Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We can talk about dedicating our life to God, and yet until we do it, it's just talk. And that's what these people had the problem with. They were willing to let the Lord's house and the Lord's work crumble down in ruins to make sure they had a nice house. You know, Jesus Christ gave us a parable of a servant. He says that the servant's out in the field all day. When he comes home, the Lord says, now wash yourself up and get ready and serve me food. And so he does it. And when he gets done, he don't get no thanks. He says, all that's left to say is, I'm an unprofitable servant because I did what was required of me. So man, he didn't prepare his own dinner. He didn't work his own field. He didn't visit his own family. He didn't build his own house. He didn't work for his own money. He was occupied in doing what someone else wanted for someone else's benefit. You know, our houses might look a little better in ruins if we were putting a little more emphasis on what God was doing and what He wanted and what His work was. Instead of putting so much emphasis on how your car looks or how good your stereo sounds or how fast your computer runs at, maybe I'll put a little more emphasis on what God's work is looking like. Don't you realize that what God's work in San Antonio looks like reflects on your service to God? Just like how what your car looks like reflects on you. People always know my car in a parking lot. They always know my house. I always rent a house without grass because I don't cut grass. We live in a house for a while and you start hearing these jungle sounds out in the yard, the area. It's starting to, the house grows smaller as the jungle increases, you know. Terry gets scared. She makes me go out and cut it. I have to get a big weed whacker or the big metal blade to get the grass out of there. And yet many times that's what the work of the Lord looks in our lives. Very unkept. Very much in ruins. Distraught. And it reflects the same way. The same way you would think of me if you saw my house. That's what God thinks of many times is the way the work of the Lord that we're in charge of, that He put us, the vineyard He set us in. That's how He sees us. Better think about it. We also not only need to put the Lord first, we need to realize that only in His service can we be complete. You know, why is it that so many times we work so hard and we never achieve the satisfaction we had back when we didn't make anything? The more we make, it seems the less satisfied we become. Why is that? Well, a lot of the reason is that as Christians, our life does not lie in carnal income. And the more emphasis we put on the carnal, the less emphasis possible we can put on the spiritual. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go buy, with our last few pennies that we didn't give away, a newspaper, and go to the park and sleep there. I'm not suggesting that we start walking and sell our cars off. But we need to be very careful where we put our emphasis. We need to be very careful where, do you work to live or do you live to work? Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Where does your emphasis lie? You know, missionaries aren't the only people called to give all to Christ. Every one of us are. I may have to do it in Mexico, but you have to do it in San Antonio. And there's no difference. None whatsoever. And only that way is the only way you're going to feel satisfied with your life. It's the only life you have. A lot of people in Mexico, we get to talking to Christians. And when we start talking to them about what God really demands of a Christian, they say, well, people who talk to me, they didn't tell me that. Well, I tell them, I'm sorry, but they lied to you then. But it's still true. You made a deal with God whether you know it or not. He gave you eternal life, and you gave Him everything. And He wasn't playing around. You belong to Him. And now He wants you to live for Him. And that's the only way you're going to avoid what these people are in. These people, they work. And what little bit they finally take home, we see down in verse 9. It says, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. So many times, what we finally get to keep is just chaff. And you come home, and you thought you really got the grain. And you open up your hands, and the wind blows, and there's nothing left. It's all gone. And people are always crying. Oh, we just don't have enough. We're just barely making it. You know, a lot of times I see people, me and Terry, we used to moan a lot. We still do sometimes. About, oh, we're just barely making it, and this and that. Then we go over, and I go over to this brother's house. One of my best friends, a Mexican brother. One of my absolute best friends down there in Mexico. His name is Flavio. And we're talking to him about his wife delivering. We were crying, you know, because we saw this, when Terry was going to have her baby, we saw this nice hospital, real nice hospital. Oh, but they wanted too much money, so we had to go to this medium hospital. Well, we talked to her. She just had a baby, too. And she's in this hospital. Oh, my goodness. Because they didn't have the money. They're in this hospital where the elevator doesn't work. And this lady is giving birth to the baby. The baby's coming out, but they can't because the baby is slightly deformed. They need to do a C-section. But the elevator doesn't work. And so they make her walk 2 flights down the stairs. Either that or just put her on the gurney and push it. And then when they get down there, the elevator starts going up and down. Boom. But the doors won't open. And then the doors finally open. He gets in to go visit his wife. And this, they pushed this dead guy in on this gurney. The problem is that the elevator was obviously only made for the gurney in mind. So everyone sort of just climbs on top of the dead guy on the gurney and rides the elevator up and hopes that the elevator doors are going to open. And they do. They start doing this. Kunk, 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 kunk. It's the elevator from hell. There's devil running or something, you know. Oh. And they're just happy as they can be telling these stories. Oh, my goodness. Me and Mark are over there, just eyes all big. Oh, man. We didn't know there was such a place in the world. Tell you what, we got it pretty cushy. I'm talking about me and my wife. I've learned to appreciate what we have. I complain about my car because the starter broke. Oh, you should see his car. I drive the limousine. You know, contentment doesn't lie in your pocketbook. It lies in your heart. But a Christian's contentment lies farther within. It doesn't come from what we feel, or what we have, or what we can earn or spend or buy. It comes from what God's placed in here. It comes from a place far deeper, and many of us need to get in touch with that. Many of us need to find that spiritual life that we find in the Word of God. That purpose that actually gives our life a sense of fulfillment and meaning. Because if not, we work and work and bring things home, and we end up with nothing. Amen?